He knew that the end of his life was coming. And I think the reason why people sing that hymn still, why at the cup final every year it's sung, and did you notice people don't just stand there like they do at so many occasions where hymns are sung, there are people actually going stuck in there and singing the word. It's a tradition. But I think it's also because there's a deep sense somewhere in us that we need held and we need to be safe. Yeah, there's this one high mic again. Sorry? Switch to the other one. I don't know what now. Is the other one around? It's on another stand. Okay. There we go. Right. It's one reason why a lot of people, not just a lot of people, but millions of families want a Christian funeral for their loved ones, when actually in reality they've not been near God for most of their lives. Because they can't bear the idea of letting go of someone who actually they've not really had much to do with. And I don't think anyone would refuse them the words of a Christian funeral, but unfortunately it's a bit late. But because people want to know there's someone there, they still do that. I know that there are people who are now actually standing by the courage of their convictions and having humanist funerals, which actually seems a bit truer to their particular understanding of life. But none of us would refuse that, because deep down there is something that says, I need a God who will be there at the worst moments. And that's why this morning I'm just turning my thoughts to the God who is there, the God of being there. I want to look quite briefly what that means to us as human beings and what the implications are, particularly as believers in Jesus Christ, for the way we live. When Moses asked to see God on Mount Sinai, when God was revealed to Moses, he didn't just reveal his name, but his inner character. So in Exodus 34 and verse 6, God passes by in his glory and he declares his name, his basic identity to Moses. And what God says there is of supreme importance, because he declares who his basic nature is. He says, these are the words he says to Moses, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, rich in loyal love and fidelity, maintaining loyal love to thousands, forgiving faults and failures and sins, but not calling guilt innocence, allowing the consequences of sins of the fathers to visit the sons and the grandsons on into the third and fourth generation. That's my translation. You won't find that in any other Bible, I'm afraid. But what I want to home in on this morning is those words, rich in loyal love and fidelity, because they are at the very heart and center of God's character. That he is the God who is there when no one else is there. In the Hebrew language, those two words, loyal love is one word, hesed, and the word faithfulness or loyalty or truth, as it's sometimes translated, is the word emet. And I haven't any time to go into them in detail today, but hesed is always linked to obligation coming out of a covenant relationship. And emet is also the word that's translated truth in the Old Testament scripture, and it has at its base the idea of dependability, of being there when all else fails. So in the Old Testament understanding, truth is not about what is intellectually correct or incorrect. It's about really what's dependable. It's about what works when push comes to shove. When life gets tough, it's what's really there for you. And that's the word emet, faithfulness, dependability. And that's why in the litmus test of experience, God promises to be there. Now, many times in the scriptures, those two words, hesed and emet, appear side by side. 27 times, in fact, especially, for instance, in Psalm 85:10, it says, loyal love and dependability have united. righteousness and wholeness have kissed. Or in Proverbs 3 and verse 3, don't ever let loyal love and dependability leave you. Tie them around your neck, write them upon your heart. And when they do unite, when those two words, hesed and emed, come together in the Old Testament, they form a deeper meaning than they would on their own. It's a device for the technical called hendiadys, which comes from the Greek word meaning one into two or one from two. But you don't have to remember that. Just be aware that in the Hebrew language, when hesed and emet, when those two words come together, they fuse, rather like a hyphen in English would turn the words ice and cream into something more than just ice and cream. They turn into ice cream. Or if you are going looking for a house, you would be house hunting. Okay, so it gives you a new idea. Also, we find that when hesed and emet, when loyal love and fidelity are missing, horrendous things happen. So in Hosea 4 and verse 1, we read the prophet saying, God has a bone to pick with you, Israel, because there's no loyal love or dependability or relationship with God in the land. Instead, there's an explosion of swearing and lying and killing and theft and adultery. So this union of these two words shows us a God who's rich, not just in love that keeps its promise, but a love that is totally, unconditionally dependable. The late Pope John Paul II, in his encyclical Rich in Mercy in 1980, expressed it like this. He says, when hesed is established, when loyal love is established between two individuals, they don't just wish each other well. They are also faithful to each other by virtue of an interior commitment, and therefore also by virtue of a faithfulness to themselves. Since hesed also means grace or love, this occurs precisely on the basis of fidelity. In addition, the word emet means primarily solidarity, security, and then fidelity, and in this way it seems to link up with the term hesed. And when we come to the New Testament, there's a glorious revelation of this truth to John as he writes the opening chapter of his gospel. Now remember, John, the gospel writer, the follower of Jesus, was a Jew, and he was steeped in the scriptures, and he knew exactly what he was writing when he wrote in John 1 and verse 14. And I think there's another slide actually we can go to. It says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of hesed and emet, full of grace and truth, we have in our English version, full of loyal love and fidelity. And he goes on to emphasize that in John 1:17. He says that the law, God's instruction course, came through Moses, but hesed and emet, God's loyal love and fidelity, are made flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's faithfulness. Jesus is God's being there, made flesh, made incarnate. How many of us need that knowledge today? How many of us really need to know that in the circumstances of our lives, that we need to know that God's commitment to us is loyal and unswerving? I'm more aware of it as I go on with Jesus in my own life, of my need for him to be there unfalteringly. Some folks today here in this place, you're struggling in your jobs. Some of you are struggling in your marriages. Some of you have great challenges with your children. For some of you, there are children who are seeming to walk away from God, who are far away. And actually, God also wants to incarnate himself through you in dependable love towards them. I was talking to someone just the other day, not part of this community, but it was talking of a son who just walked away from God and wasn't there, wasn't walking with God now, but they needed to be there for him. And I was just encouraging them that God wants to show through them his steadfast, dependable, unfailing, unswerving, unconditional love. Some of you who are younger people here, you're finding your feet in life just now. Your identity is just shaping up, and that can be a scary place. It's full of mountains and valleys, sometimes exhilarating, sometimes nauseating, like a roller coaster ride. But God says to you, I am full of loyal love and faithfulness. I'll be there for you even when you doubt yourself. Even when you feel as though you're worthless, I see your value and I will be there for you. I will be with you to the end. I know as someone who gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 10, God was walking with me through those formative years of teenage. I know that without God, I would not have made it through the way I did. God has been so gracious. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you are at on the journey, to hold on to that understanding of God as loyal and full of fidelity. Some of us are wrestling with doubts over what we believe. Some of us are challenged in our health. There may be people here today who are caring for aged parents who are gradually leaving them by degrees through Alzheimer's and through various forms of dementia. For them, again, you need not to know only God's love for you and his loyalty to you, but you need to be able to draw on that, to show that to your parents who are fading and gradually moving away from you. And actually, maybe you need that to show to them the way that they've shown that love to you when you were unable to respond, and when you were unable to speak to them when you were an infant. And we all face what Henry Light called in his hymn, Abide With Me, or he didn't call it in his hymn, but he spoke of us all having a timely acquaintance with the death of Christ, by which he meant there will come for every one of us a day of death. But here is a God who says, I will be there even in the darkest moments. And he's proved it. A lady called Kenda Creasy Dean writes, in the passion of the cross, God the Father chose being there for us over being there for God's own self in the Son. But even then, God's fidelity still remained uncompromised because the Holy Spirit freely chose to be there as well. So this morning, wherever you need God to be there for you, he says, I will be there, whatever age or stage of life you are. It is his nature. In fact, Paul, writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, he says that even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Why? Because he wants to make us feel bad? No, because he can't do anything else. Because he has to be faithful to himself. He has to remain true to who he is. That is his nature as God. But what if God seems absent from the situation? What if terrible things happen? Just this week, we've seen that terrible situation of that little girl, Olivia Donoghue, run over in Westgarth Avenue in Collington and killed. Her parents are members of Morningside Baptist Church, and they're drawing on their faith and strength in Christ at the moment. And we need to keep them in our prayers and keep the folks of Morningside in our prayers for them. And I'm sure at the moment they're needing God to be there in the midst of this terrible happening. But you know, there's an example in the scriptures of a man who those kind of things happened to. And it's quite a scary story in a way, because God said, I can so depend on the relationship that I have with this man, that whatever happens to him, however bad it gets, he will not turn his back on me and walk away from me. That man, of course, is Job. If you've never read the book of Job, read it. You'll need it one day. You will need to know that kind of dependability of God and that kind of faith that will see you through the most terrible times. God allowed those things. In fact, God said to Satan, whatever you do to Job, he will not turn against me because he knows how dependable I am. It was so rooted in the base of Job's being that even when his wife said, Job, give up, just curse God and die, Job said something which is astounding. It's one of the most astounding verses in the Bible. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. In spite of what happened to me, in spite of losing all my family and my goods, in spite of my health breaking down, I know that my Redeemer lives. And what's more, I know that he will stand in the last day on the earth, and in my body I will see God. It's like a clarion call against despair. And I want to invoke those words over anyone this morning who's feeling that kind of despair. Anyone who is reaching out to God and saying, God, I need to know you're there. I need to know you're with me. I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand on the last day on the earth. And I want to encourage those of us who feel in a good place at the moment in faith. Those of us, sometimes if we're not careful, we can patronize or look down on those who are struggling in faith and going through hard times, thinking, how can they do that? How can they let go of God in these situations? Don't do that. Be there for them. Show God's being there nature for those who are struggling to find God being there. Can we do that? In the sense of community that we have, be there for one another. This loyal, faithful God also looks for a response from us. You see, we are being made into the image of Jesus Christ, the one who is full of grace and truth, the one who is full of this loyal love and fidelity. So how does that look in your life and in my life as followers of Jesus Christ? Again, Kenda Creasy Dean says, if divine passion reveals God's fidelity, it necessarily reveals the source of ours as well. That means that God's fidelity has an effect on our fidelity. In Galatians 5, verse 20, Paul tells us that one of the fruits of the Spirit, that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness, consistency, dependability, reliability, being there. Why? Because it's a major characteristic of Jesus Christ. I am with you always, he says, even to the end of the age. Therefore, it's going to be a characteristic that the Holy Spirit grows in the lives of his followers. But we have real challenges living in the culture that we live in. We're living in a maelstrom of speed and choice. It's one of the major obstacles, I think, to moving forward in this area of faithfulness and dependability. Because there are so many choices, we either move one way into a frenzy of shallow and often uncompleted activity, or we go the other way into an inertia of fear, not knowing what choice we should make. So we end up making none and opt out of life. But actually, as followers of Jesus Christ, our overall aim and goal, second to none, is to be like Jesus. So there are some bottom lines for us as followers of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit forms him in us. We're called to be loyal and consistent in our relationship with him. One of the major reasons for instability in faith and Christian growth in our lives is because we just don't put God at the top of the list. Everything else seems to get more important. After all, God will be around anyway, won't he? But that's one of the reasons we run into the problems we run into and lose hold on him, is because we haven't grounded that deep in our being. We're called to be loyal and consistent in our relationships within the body of Christ with one another. Without me, the body is incomplete. Without you, the body can't function. Whether we like it or not, if we can't model fidelity and faithfulness among brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not going to be able to model it anywhere else. We're called to be faithful like Jesus in what we are given to do. We need to be there for our families, for our workmates, for our neighbors, so that they can see the difference between the kingdom of God and the tyranny and the chaos of darkness. So we need to be true to the deadlines that we're set in our work. We need to be honest also about our limitations, so we don't say that we can do things we can't actually do. That's part of dependability as well. The problem is that in a world of competitors on every side, we feel the need to outdo everyone else and cover up our weaknesses. But that's not actually God's way. We need to be honest and true. Jesus said to his followers, don't make oaths, i.e. don't make promises that are going to bind you up, that particularly promises you can't keep. He says, just let yes mean yes, and just let no mean no. And so we need to know that our yes needs to be yes, and no needs to be no, and we need to be dependable with the help of the Holy Spirit in what we say. I'm drawing to a close just to say these things. God's very nature is hesed and emet. God's very nature is loyal love and dependability. Secondly, we can draw on that characteristic of his being there even when our feelings tell us otherwise. And that's why we need to get the understanding of his character and nature deep within us now, so that when we hit those rough times, when we hit that darkness, and it will come, because all of us suffer in some way, challenges to our faith and experiences which will call that forth from us, we need to have that established within us, that understanding of who he is. And thirdly, we are called and gifted for faithfulness by the Holy Spirit to others. And that's in the body of Christ, and beyond that to the world around us, so that God's nature and character can be reflected through us, through our changed characters. I put on the back at the information table a list of the scriptures that quote love and faithfulness, that refer to God's Hesed and Emet. If you want to pick up, only on about 20, so there won't be enough for everyone to have one. But if it would be valuable to you to just look at some of those scriptures and get those things grounded into your being, that God's loyal love and fidelity are always there, do pick one up because it's there for you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are completely dependable and completely faithful, that there is no, as the scripture says, there is no shadow of turning with you. There isn't even a flicker of an intention to move away from us. And Lord, we stand before you this morning, we sit before you this morning in awe of your complete dependability and the fact that you want to be there for us, the fact that in Jesus you've promised that you will never leave us or forsake us. I just want to pray this morning, and I invoke in the name of Jesus Christ this dependability over anyone here this morning who is struggling, anyone this morning who needs to know God is there, who needs to know that you abide with us. I just bring that to you in the name of Jesus this morning, that it will be grounded into your being, that it will be affirmed and confirmed in you by his Holy Spirit. Lord, we do just pray for our brother and sister who've lost their little girl in this terrible way, and for our sister who's in hospital at the moment. We pray for her, Lord, and we ask, Lord, for that loyal love and fidelity to be with that family this week and in the days ahead to comfort them. And Lord, we give ourselves to you in whatever situation we're in, whether we are people who are young people, our identities are just being formed, whether we are older people, whether we are looking to you to be there in our needs, in our medical needs, in our health, in our hopes, whether we're even caring for aged parents, or maybe people here like that who see the need to just show that love to parents or to children who are away from home and sometimes away from you. We're calling on you, Lord, to impart something of that faithful love to us this morning. Just draw on it now. Just receive whatever you need from God this morning of him. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to leave it there this morning. We're going to break a little later than we said, but there's coffee and donuts. So, David, you want to
give us some? Okay, so coffee, if you want to go out that door and round to the hatch around the passageway around the back there, that saves us all getting locked up at this doorway here. So for coffee, go out round that door, please.